God makes himself known to human beings in many ways. God has revealed himself through the things he has made. And God has revealed himself by putting within us a conscience and a consciousness that some things are inescapably true. And God has revealed himself to us in history and in the events that come to pass in our lives and within this world. But God has spoken to us, God has revealed himself to us in two special ways. This is what Peter wrote. He said, "We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." Although God has revealed himself in creation and in conscience and in history, the fact is that the world is still a dark place. That's Peter's phrase. But there is a light that shines in the dark place. It is the word of the prophets. God, in Bible times, chose certain men to be his spokesman. We call them the prophets. And he spoke to those men. He gave them words. And they were commanded to write down those words. And we have those words in the Bible. Prophecy, we read, never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God took hold of these spokesmen. His Spirit moved them along, steered them, guided them. And as a result, they spoke words given to them by God himself. And they not only spoke those words, but they wrote them down. That is how Scripture, the Bible, came into being. It is the result of God steering chosen men, directing them, giving them words, true words about himself. And those words have been written down in this book. The writer to the Hebrews puts it this way: "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways." God gave messages, words to chosen men, and those chosen men had to channel those words to others. God spoke to us through the prophets, his spokesmen. We still have the messages they gave here in this book. So that is the first form of special revelation. That is the first special way in which God has revealed himself to human beings. But there is a yet more special way. That verse that we've just read carries on. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." Do you see the contrast that you have there in those verses? The writer here looks backwards. He looks into the past and he remembers all those different men through whom God gave messages to the human race, the prophets. He says God spoke through the prophets at many times, in many ways. God gave this little revelation here and that message there. Lots of pieces of truth were communicated to the human race through the prophets. But then, in these last days, God has given us one final, total revelation of himself. God has made himself known to us in one total, complete way. He's spoken to us by his own Son. And the Son, through whom he's spoken to us, is a supreme and infinite figure. He's the heir of all things, the one for whom all things exist. And he's the one through whom the universe was made. So this Son is the beginning and the end of all things. And it's through him that God has spoken to us. It's through him that God has shown himself to us finally and definitively. The ultimate revelation of God. The final way in which God has made himself known to human beings is through his own Son, the Lord Jesus. Now this is what Jesus himself claimed. When you read through the Gospels, you see again and again that Jesus claimed to be the revelation of God. Jesus said once and again and again and again that if you want to know God, if you want to understand God, if you want to hear God, if you want to see God, if you want to have dealings with God, Jesus said it must be through me. Jesus pointed to himself as the revelation of God. Four things, and I'm turning to John's Gospel for them all. Firstly, Jesus claimed that his words, all his words, were taught to him by God. Jesus claimed that his words, all his words, were taught to him by God. Just turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus says this in verse 28. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Do you see at the center of that verse? Jesus says, "I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught me." Every single statement that the Lord Jesus ever made, every single word he ever spoke, he can say, "I'm speaking just what the Father has taught me." He says, "None of my words come simply from myself. None of my words just arise out of my own independent thought and imagination. I do nothing on my own. I speak just what the Father has taught me." Now that makes Jesus different from the Old Testament prophets. An Old Testament prophet, there were times when the Word of God came to him. Special occasions, special moments. And then that prophet would speak to others the words that God gave him. But that wasn't true most of the time. most of the words that the prophet spoke were simply his own words. It was only on those special occasions that God gave him words. But Jesus can say, all my words are from God. I speak just what the Father has taught me. I do nothing on my own. He never leaves me alone. I always do what pleases him. From the moment that Jesus opened his mouth as a toddler and began to speak those half-formed words that a toddler does speak, up to the moment of his last dying cry on the cross, he was speaking words that the Father had taught him. He never made a statement that was not the perfect word of God through him. Yes, his own mind was functioning. Yes, his own lips were shaping the words. And yet every one of them was the word of the Father channeled through him. You could listen to any statement that came from the lips of the Lord Jesus, and you could say, that's God's statement. That is God speaking. There are those who want to pick and choose between the words of the Lord Jesus. They say, well, of course, Jesus was like us. Yes, no doubt he said some very fine and some very good and some very true things. But there are also things he said where his own biases came through. Things where his own twisted ideas muddled him up. You can't trust every word that Jesus says, can you? He's like any other man. His words are a mixture of truth and falsehood. Jesus says, no. I never, he says, speak merely on my own. All my words are from the Father. I speak just what the Father has taught me. Yes, for all of us. Our words are a mixture of truth and falsehood, of right and wrong. If you listen to any of our conversations, you could pick out nuggets of gold, but there would be so much worthless ore in which they were set. But listen to every word of the Lord Jesus, the words he spoke around a meal table with his family, the words he spoke when he was walking along the road with friends, the words he spoke in the upstairs room, the words he spoke or cried from the cross, every one of them God's word. He wasn't just a man of his time. Again, that's the way some people try to avoid having to accept everything he says. They say, well, yes, he was no doubt the wisest of men, but of course he had the limitations of his age. Of course he lived in a pre-scientific age. Of course he didn't have the modern insights that we have. He hadn't read any Freud. He didn't know Marx. So obviously there were some things where, you know, you can't expect him to be up to date in his thinking. Oh, if only he had lived in the 21st century, then, you know, he would have said some things differently, wouldn't he? But no, Jesus' words weren't just the product of his age, of the time in which he lived. He says, I speak from God. I speak the words that the Father teaches me. And that's why we can trust all of his words. All of his words are God speaking, God revealing himself. If Jesus tells us that the Old Testament scriptures are perfectly true, the scripture cannot be broken, he said, then they are perfectly true. If Jesus talks about creation and the fact that at creation God made them male and female, then that is the way God creates it. If Jesus lays down fixed ethical norms and says it must be one man and one woman in a married, lifelong relationship whom God has joined, let no man put asunder, then that isn't just for his age. that is never going to be eclipsed by some modern insight. Whatever Jesus has said is binding and true, because all his words are the words of God. Secondly, Jesus claimed not just that his words were given to him by God, but that all his deeds mirrored God's works. Go back to John chapter 5 and verse 18. Or go back first to John 5:16. Let's take it back a couple of verses. Jesus had just healed a man on the Sabbath day. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. They said, "You've got no right to heal people on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for resting, not working. You've got no right to do this." Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Do you see his logic? He says, look, if it's the Sabbath day, but my Father, God in heaven, hasn't stopped working because it's the Sabbath. He's still pushing the sun across the sky. He's still making the grass grow out of the ground. He's still making the wind blow. He's still providing people with food. God works on the Sabbath. And so Jesus says, I too am working. I'm mirroring my Father's actions. I'm only doing the same thing as he's doing. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Do you see what Jesus is claiming? He's saying that he is in constant, immediate contact with God his Father. And he mirrors everything his Father does. His Father shows him what to do. And he, the Lord Jesus, here on earth, mirrors the Father's acts in his acts. Gives examples of this. Verse 21, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he's pleased to give it. The thing I do is a mirror, a glimpse of what the Father's doing. The Father judges no one, verse 22, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. The Father is the great judge, but here Jesus is the judge here on earth. He mirrors what the Father does. But that's true of all Jesus' works. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Every action of the Lord Jesus in some way was a mirroring of the Father's actions. You could look at any action that the Lord Jesus performed here on earth, and you could say, he's copying that from his Father. That's a perfect reflection of the way his Father in heaven works. Now that's true of the great, dramatic, spectacular actions that the Lord Jesus performed. He stands up in the boat in the middle of a storm, and he speaks a word of rebuke. He commands the storm to be still. And the storm falls silent. It is still. He's copying what his Father does. It's the Father who controls the oceans and controls the winds and rebukes them and brings storms to an end. So Jesus mirrors what his father does. But it's also true of all those lovely, quiet actions that you see the Lord Jesus performing in the Gospels. He takes a toddler on his lap and he puts his arms around the toddler and he blesses the child. That's him mirroring the Father too. The action that he performs in that moment is a glimpse of what the Father's doing all the time. You could look at any action that the Lord Jesus performed while he was here on earth, and you could say, that shows me what God does. That shows me what God is like. That shows me God at work. When God wanted to reveal himself in a supreme way, he didn't just send another prophet to say, here is a list of things that I do. Rather, he sent his own son to do those things here among us, visibly. And then the third thing Jesus claimed. He claimed this, not just that his words were taught to him by God, and not just that his actions mirrored God's actions, but that his whole being revealed God. You know the text I'm going to quote, John chapter 14 and verse 7. Jesus says to his disciples, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Jesus says that there is such a perfect unity between himself and his Father that once you've seen him, you know exactly what the Father is like. He says, I'm in the Father. I live my whole life in him. And he's in me. His life is lived out in me. So that now anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. He doesn't mean that he and his Father are identical, one and the same person. But he's saying that they are so united, so indivisible, that their lives are so interpenetrating, that once you've seen Jesus, you know exactly what his Father is like. His whole being is a revelation of the Father. Once you've seen the character of Jesus, you know God's character. You know what sort of God he is. You know what he loves and what he hates. You look at Jesus and you see the things he loves. Then you're able to say, those are the things God loves. You look at the things Jesus hates and you say, those are the things God hates. You look at everything that is Jesus and you say, that's what the Father is. How does God feel about the pain, the suffering that's invaded this world? How does he feel about death, especially the death of his own people? How do we know what God's feelings are about those things? There was a day when Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus. And Jesus wept. He wept that death had struck down his friend. And more than that, the Gospel of John says he raged. He was angry at the fact that death could come in and cause such havoc in this world. That was the attitude of Jesus. That grief and that rage in the face of death. Then I've seen the Father's attitude. If that is the attitude of the Lord Jesus, then that is the attitude of his Father. The Father is not indifferent in the face of human suffering and death. He grieves, he is angry that his world should have been invaded by such an enemy. If we've seen Jesus, and if that's his attitude, then we've seen the Father, and we know that that's his attitude as well. You can go through the whole life of Jesus, and you can see Jesus in a thousand different situations. You can see his character being displayed. You know what sort of person he is. And because you know his character, you know the Father's character. He is the revelation of the Father. Do you see Jesus in the upstairs room, stripping off his cloak, tying a towel round his waist, kneeling down in front of his own disciples, washing their feet? Do you see that humility? Do you see that willingness to serve? That's his character. Then it's the Father's character too. Don't let anybody ever paint to you a picture of God as the tyrannical God. It can't be true. Because we've seen God in Jesus Christ. And we know that the Son was willing to kneel to wash other men's feet. And therefore we know that that is the Father's character too. You see Jesus sitting down at a meal table as the friend of sinners, welcoming them, dealing with them so gently. Do you see him when a sinful woman comes and sobs at his feet and other people condemn her? Do you see how gently he deals with her? That's his character. Then it's the character of the Father too. Don't let anybody paint you a picture of God as a God who's harsh and who drives sinners away. No, the Lord Jesus had arms open to welcome every sinner who sought forgiveness. Then that's God's character too. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know what I'm like, you know what the Father's like. But equally, do you see Jesus in the temple, carrying a whip in his hand, a whip that he himself has tied into knots? And do you see him going through the temple like a consuming flame, driving out the animals that men have herded into the temple? Do you see him kicking over the tables of the moneylenders? Do you see the holy fury in the Lord Jesus when holy things are abused? That's his character. Then it's the character of the Father too. Don't let anybody paint a picture to you of God as a weak, insipid God who really just doesn't care about human sin. We've seen Jesus. And if you've seen the Son, you know what the Father is like. And then fourthly, Jesus not only claimed that his words were taught to him by God, and that his actions mirrored God's actions, and that his whole being was a revelation of God. Jesus claimed, and we've said it already, but we say it again, he claimed to be one with God. We read it in these verses, and we read it again. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. He's saying, you can't divide between us. You can't divide between us. It's not just that I'm like the Father. It's that the Father's life is being lived out in me. And my whole life is being drawn from him. He puts it even more strikingly in chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 30. Jesus has been talking about his care for his own people, his own sheep. And he says this, verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And then he says this, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. He says, if they're in my hand, they're in my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. There it is. Not just somebody who speaks from the Father. Not just someone who imitates the Father's works in his work. Not somebody whose character is a reflection of the Father's character. Rather, someone who is one with God. He is one with his Father. Indivisible, in perfect unity. That's why he's the final revelation of the Father. Because the Father is living his whole life out through him. And he's drawing his whole life from the Father. That's why John can say in the first chapter that we read at the very beginning, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus was eternally the Word of the Father, the revelation of all that the Father is. But there came a point when he became flesh, when he took human flesh, human personality. He made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then he can say this in verse 18, no one has ever seen God. There's no way that the Father will ever be seen in his essence, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Jesus himself is God made visible, God made known, God revealed. Paul can say in Corinthians, we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How would you like to see God's glory? Old Testament saints saw the glory of God on Mount Sinai. A mountain range suddenly explodes into flame. And a pillar of cloud goes up like the cloud over Hiroshima. And the whole mountain range shakes. Do you think that's a tremendous revelation of God's glory? Paul says, we've seen God's glory just looking as we've looked into the face of Jesus Christ. That's where we see all God's majesty, all God's power, all God's character displayed. We've heard Jesus' words, and they're words from the Father. We've seen Jesus' actions, and they're actions that the Father has taught him. We've seen Jesus' character, and it's the character of the Father. And we know that Jesus and his Father are one. That the Father's life is being lived out in him, and he is drawing his life from the Father. God, in time past, spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. Wonderful. Wonderful that God should use words to tell us about himself. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. How much more wonderful that he should send his Son into the world, and that through his Son he should make himself known to us.